When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So obviously a lot of you know that I was a big build around Justin Fields guy, and I'll never run from that. And I hope that 10 years from now, we'll look back and be like, you know what? You were kind of ridiculous for even saying such a thing. Not that he won't do well in Pittsburgh or anything like that, but you know what I'm saying? So I really do hope that, you know, it's going to work out well for Caleb Williams. I mean, I've been on board ever since the Bears made the decision, traded him away Justin Fields for a conditional fourth round pick, a potential sixth round pick, whatever it's going to end up being. But here's the thing that's been coming out over the last couple of days, ever since the draft, is as much as, and listen, I'm on board with Caleb Williams. I think Caleb Williams is going to be great. I thought that even as a Justin Fields person, I thought that going with Caleb Williams is going to be fine. I think he's good. I think there's multiple ways to get there. There's two different varieties of pizza in Chicago, three, four, what doesn't matter. But here's what I've noticed over the last couple of days is that people, and these are mostly the people who are like, you got to take Caleb Williams, are now trying to tell us like, whoa, what? Don't expect him to be good right up. No, actually, I do expect him to be good right off the bat. The good news here, I mean, here's the thing. Like, there should be a reasonable expectation that Caleb Williams is going to be good during his first NFL season. I mean, you look at some of the guys like, obviously, C.J. Stroud last year, Justin Herbert, and some of the other rookie quarterbacks who've done well during their rookie season. I think there's a reasonable expectation, especially when you consider the guys that have been put around him. Like, he should be good. That is my the good news, again, is that Caleb Williams also has this expectation. You saw what he texted to Tory Taylor. You saw the way he's been talking in recent interviews. He expects to be good. So I think that 10 wins is the floor for this team. And I really do. And I can't wait to get in and talk a little bit more about this. So Sammy, let's just go ahead and start the show.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. With Adam Rank.
The tester. Trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast.
Sports entertainment like no other.
It's going to be sick.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means? It is time for Take It to the Rank. Great show planned for you this evening. Chad Ryder will be joining us here from NFL.com in just a matter of moments. And of course, there's a lot of great stuff that happens on Wednesday night. We have AEW Dynamite. We have MTV's The Challenge, which drops on Paramount Plus. And of course, the Tape Never Lies Network will be with us. And speaking of which, quick shout out to our friend Ronnie at the Tape Never Lies Network, who was instrumental in helping us get everything off the ground in Chicago last week for the draft. That's right. Ronnie really saved the day. Actually, I'm still using the mic that he gave us. I don't know that you're getting it back because it actually sounds way too good. And it's been way, way more comfortable than having that big microphone being in my face. So big thanks to Ronnie for doing all of that. I got a great story to share about our encounters there. I'll save it for another time. Also want to shout out the Game Room Chicago for a wonderful draft night event. They could not have been nicer. I've stayed at a lot of cool hotels, and the things that make hotels really sing, it's the staff. You know what I'm saying? Like, hotels should be nice. The staff at the Game Room Chicago are unbelievable. And again, if you're ever in the downtown Chicago area, even before games and everything, we always talk about this on this show a lot. The Game Room Chicago is the place to be, but I really do endorse it. I really do believe in it. It is a great spot, a lot of fun. So if you're in the area, go check that out, Game Room Chicago. Now, for any of you who over the last couple of days has started to tire of all the glowing praise the Bears have received over the last couple of days for their draft efforts. Well, I've got a treat for you. I had to go out there and find a hating Packers fan who would go out this and try to put us in our place, kind of throw some cold water and try to dampen our enthusiasm. So I went to a place where I currently work. It's the NFL Media Group, and Chad Ryder has been with us since about 2001. Actually, it's about 2011. I know he's been doing draft stuff since the early 2000s. I think it was 2001. But since 2011, he was part of the original content team. Does a great job on NFL.com breaking down the draft. He moves out to California for a month. He's about ready to go back home. And even though he's trying to enjoy a last few days of sunshine, well, sort of overcast sunshine and some good vibes here in Southern California, he's decided to come join us. So please welcome to the show, Chad Ryder of the NFL Media Group. Chad, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great. You're right. Vacation has started, but I said for Adam, and we're going to talk Bears and we're going to love it.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things. It's kind of like when I'm forcing my kids to go out there and do something against their will. They still come out and do it, you know, and I appreciate you doing that and bearing with us, pun intended, so to speak. I noticed, your most recent article on NFL.com, I've already got the defensive posture working. No, your most recent article on NFL.com, your favorite picks of each round. You couldn't throw a Rome Odunze in there or anything? Torrey Taylor, nothing? Like nothing about the Bears stood out as one of your favorite picks of the draft?
You know, I thought about Odunze. I really did. And the thing is with those picks, I know that I am biased towards guys that maybe were picked later than I expected, because I'm looking at guys that were good value. That's really what it comes down to with my favorite picks. So Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, they were picked pretty much where I figured they'd be picked. But Rome could have been on that list because I think he could be the second best receiver in this draft. And in some ways we'll see what Marvin Harrison does. If he becomes a superstar, then that's fine. But if Harrison's just kind of a pretty good receiver, then Odunze could actually exceed expectations more than either of the other two that were picked before him. So if I were to pick one Bears pick that to be in that, it would be him or Austin Booker, who we might talk about later. But that's why kind of where I come down on those favorite picks. So, you know, no shade being thrown.
And you had to get a Packer in there. Who was it? Javon, who was the safety the Packers picked Bullard, in the second round. I know that you were very high. That was a good pick by them. I'll even admit. They do much better in every round outside of the first. It always feels that way. But they do a very nice job of drafting. But going back to Rome Odunze, what was your comp for him coming? I've seen some good ones, and I know everybody's got their own version of this. Who is a comp for Rome Odunze?
Mike Williams, that went from the Chargers to the Jets, that was my guy that I kind of like him to, because he's good at everything. He may not be, he's not elite speed. He's not elite a lot of things, but he's very good at everything. And that means something especially for a young quarterback. Like Williams, you know, he's going to lean on Keenan Allen, right? I mean, he's going to lean on Keenan Allen. But Odunze is going to be good enough early in his career that Cub's going to be able to trust him. He's going to be in the right spot. He's going to make defenders miss. He's going to run over some guys. And he can get deep as well. So he does everything well. And I thought that was really, you know, a smart move for them to take him maybe over one of the edge rushers or whatever. They needed to build. And, you know, you said it in the open about Herbert having not only Williams and Allen, but also Hunter Henry when he was a rookie. So you got to build that team around your guy and hope that he can pull the strings. And, you know, every guy goes through some bumps and bruises early in the year. But I think when people were asking me about Caleb Williams versus Fields, I thought Caleb Williams would be just as good as Justin Fields halfway through his rookie year. And so that's where I'm kind of at with that as well.
And I know that you did write in one of your pieces, it might have been in the draft grades, because I know you gave the Bears an A- overall in the draft. I think a lot of that had to do, they didn't have a ton of picks. So just still getting, you know, still getting to that level was pretty impressive. You said, though, that this was probably the Bears' best receiving core since the merger. And not to throw shade at any of the other past teams, but like they did have once have Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey
on
the same team. So it's not like it's not damning with faint praise or anything like that. But it feels like, did it feel un-Bears-like that they did this, that they actually went all in on offense instead of like trading down, picking up Jared Verse or doing what we have come accustomed to over the years?
Well, and to be honest, like if Odunze is not there, they may have traded out. And I think one of the reasons why you didn't see as many trades in the first round this year is because those quarterbacks went early. And teams like the Bears and, you know, and others decided to stay put and take the guys that they got. So things a little bit different. You might have been able to get a few more picks out of another team and trade down a little bit. And that would have been okay, too, depending on who they got. But in this case, you can get two guys that are going to help your offense for years to come. You stood there and you did what you had to do.
Yeah, I felt that was a kind of a stroke of luck, because I know when I was doing my mock draft with a twist, I kind of had to play fast and loose with everything to make sure that, you know, as I'm advising teams, as I do in that piece, to make sure that Rome Odunze was going to be available there. I didn't quite anticipate the Falcons taking Michael Penix. I mean, that had to be a shot. I know that Ryan Poles sort of chuckled when he was asked about it, but that was somewhat crazy, it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple of people who were talking about it before the draft, but overall, you never know if those things are rumors or if they're true or whatever. So, I was a little surprised by that pick that they actually did it, given their situation. Not because of Penix as a player, because of the situation and his injury history, frankly. I mean, you don't see a guy who's missed parts of four seasons due to injury picked that high in the draft. So, that came in their favor for sure. And having two tackles instead of just Joe Alt go was a big
thing. Yeah.
Having the, you know, so that was the other factor that kind of allowed the Bears to get Odunze in there. And, they got some fortune, and you need that.
Yeah, once the Chargers didn't take Malik Nabers, and there was a Chargers fan who's been haranguing me on social media for the last 2 months, like, oh, are you sure they're taking Joel? You sure? Actually, yeah. I am sure. I was pretty sure, and I think, like, the reasons why, I mean, it was obvious that's who they were going to take. I had actually written this in my piece that I the Falcons could have done the funniest thing ever of taking Brock Bowers so they could have two tight ends and really just really thrown the fantasy community into a tizzy. But I think it makes a lot of sense. It would have been, but like they should have, like, at this point, if you're taking Michael Penix, shouldn't you have just taken Rome Odunze? Cause like I think for the same reasons that it makes sense for the Bears, it would have made sense for the Falcons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned that when we talk in our meetings, you know, before the Path to the Draft show, and I was talking to people about it. I'm like, look, Kyle Pitts is a tight end in name only. And you put Bowers and Pitts on the field at the same time on the outside with Drake London and Bijan in the backfield. I would have been totally great with that pick. Look, they got to do what they got to do. But to me, that made a lot more sense. A lot of people were picking Dallas Turner. I kind of pulled away from that at the end and said maybe a Quinion Mitchell, the corner, you know, with Raheem Morris there.
I saw that,
I can't believe the Eagles got him where they got him right in the first round. That was a steal. So there's a lot of directions they could have gone to improve the team now. And, you know, this could be one of those picks where everybody's like, are you kidding me? What are you doing? And then it turns out great. Or we may always be right. And that's why I do draft grades. People are always, why do you do draft grades? They don't mean anything now until 3 years from now. Well, unfortunately, if you wait until 2 or 3 years from now, everybody's using hindsight. They don't remember what was said at the time. So you need a baseline in order to, you know, evaluate these things later. So that's why I wrote now. This may be great, but for right now, it doesn't look like it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's always interesting because I feel the same way. Like it's easy to go back in hindsight and be like, yeah, of course you should have taken Patrick Mahomes instead of Mitch Trubisky. But even then, in that moment, it was a terrible pick. And I think that a lot of Bears fans echoed that sentiment. Even so, that Mitch was booed at a Bulls game the day after. But here's the thing, too. So you mentioned the Eagles getting away with this. I always feel like the Ravens do this too. Like Nate Wiggins, yeah. Was it Nate Wiggins? How does this always happen? Where somebody great always falls to a team like the Ravens or something like that. It's always wild. That's why I think it's so refreshing for the Bears to end up with Roma Dunze, because like a lot of things had to go correctly for this to be pulled off. The Falcons doing it, the Titans going with the tackle. Thankfully, you figured Malik Nabers was going to go somewhere. So that was a lot of good fortune. What wasn't good fortune, or I guess it was good fortune because Carolina was so terrible, Caleb Williams. What is your evaluation of Caleb Williams compared to quarterback prospects? And we can go back to Trevor Lawrence's class. Yeah. If you're grouping all of those quarterbacks in together, which I guess would be Trevor Lawrence, CJ Stroud, the most notable, where does Caleb Williams fall into that mix?
I think he is right there with Lawrence. I think he's right in that same area. And C.J. Stroud was great last year with the Texans. But I think if anybody says they had him graded as highly as Williams or Lawrence coming out, I think they're being disingenuous. Yeah. So I think he's right there with Lawrence. Williams, you know, the offensive line wasn't great. He had to play some hero ball when he was at USC. He wasn't patient in the pocket at times. He did things wrong. Guess what? Every quarterback does things wrong at the college level, right? So, like, let's get over that. Okay. In terms of a guy, I don't know that I've seen a better deep ball from a guy since Jeff Blake. The way that he arcs that deep ball is pretty amazing. And so I'm hoping he gets to show that early so people know of what I'm speaking. But in terms of mobility within the pocket, he can make plays from the pocket, even though he, you know, gets a little impatient sometimes. There's just a lot to love about that guy. And I don't listen to the garbage about what he has on his hands. And, you know, I heard that all with Cam Newton. I heard that all with a million guys. Forget it. He's a playmaker. He's a very good quarterback. And I really thought that he was going to win two Heismans, that the one at Oklahoma, one at USC. When he first came out, I really thought he was going to do it. And he tailed off a little bit that first year at the end, or the team did. But I think he's a great talent. And I think the Bear fans are really going to be happy with what they have in him.
And I really like his demeanor. I think that everything that we've seen about him ever since he's come out, now the bear claw thing, This is what people in Chicago are arguing about, is like, who created the bear claw? And they're like, well, the super fan does it, but the super fan has actual claws on his hands. Like nobody's embraced it. Like him, like obviously like the NWO, like people did this before the NWO, but it's synonymous with the NWO. You know what I'm saying? Like the too sweet, like there's nothing that compares, even so much that the WWE put a trademark against the Young Bucks for doing it. Like it's a cool thing. And I love Caleb doing that. And I think his demeanor, I think it's so cool. Like he comes off as a cool guy. I was shocked. I'm not shocked because the internet's terrible, but like his phone call with Poles and Eberflus. I thought that was cool. Like I thought he was just super chill and people were like, this is the cringiest thing. I'm like, I don't know. I thought it was cool. As somebody who's kind of like, you know, you might have a reason to root against him at some point in the future. What do you think about him as his persona over the last couple of days, over the last week or so? Because I thought he's equated himself pretty nicely.
Well, I think he's been that way the whole time. Like, I think
that's true.
So, you know, I mean, to me, like he's a cool guy. His teammates all love him. You saw when he got picked, the raw emotion that came out of his achieving a goal that has been his goal the whole time. And there was all this garbage, like, oh, he's only going to play for this team that came out and whatever, that was garbage. But I think he's been that guy. And I think one of the reasons that he took over for Spencer Rattler in Oklahoma as quickly as he did is because he has that demeanor, because he gets along with his teammates. And Lincoln Riley's like, I got to get this guy in the field. He's a difference maker. And Spencer Rattler's a pretty decent quarterback. You know, he's got his own issues, but he's a pretty good quarterback, especially at the college level. So for Williams to do that, I think this has been part of his package the whole time. some people are offended by whatever because they like to be offended, but I think he's been cool, and I'm very excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I guess it was more so on a national level, right, is like seeing all that stuff come out, because of course I live out here in Southern California, so I'm pretty well aware of Caleb Williams, and we've seen him around, and everything about that is cool. And I think too, because, you know, Ryan Poles in that phone call was talking about like, hey, I've had to wait on this for a while now. I think now you start to understand why they sort of gave Fields away, so to speak, where it's just like, well, this, as much as popular as Justin was in the locker room, and guys like Jalen Johnson, Jaquan Brisker loved Justin Fields. But even as recently as 2 days ago, like DJ Moore's already kind of like, yep, okay. Like he's moved on. Like he's already posted, like he's already moved on, so to speak. I think like the Bears recognize like, oh, the team's going to fall in love with Caleb Williams, and there's no reason, even if it costs us, we could probably hold on to Justin Fields. But like, instead of making him do the Garoppolo of practicing on a separate field, like just let him go to Pittsburgh and deal with that over there.
You cut your losses. And look, I mean, Justin Fields was not – I really liked what I saw from Justin Fields last year. But the fact is, there was no leverage. The Bears had zero leverage. And getting what they could for him was all they could do. And because everybody in the league knew what they were going to do. Why would a team offer a second-round pick for him? There's no reason for it. And the fact that they got what they could, and maybe it turns out to be a great thing if he comes on for the Steelers and does what he needs to do. So I wish him a lot of success in Pittsburgh. I hope he learns some things from Russell Wilson, maybe not other things, and really becomes a great quarterback. Because I was on board with him immediately coming out of college. A lot of people had a lot of nice things to say with him coming out of college. And it was funny to watch Denver pass on him. And now, like, What could Sean Payton have done with Justin Fields? It's just kind of fun to think about. Like, so anyway, it's fun to think about. I hope he does great, and the Bears made the right move here. No matter what happens going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, like, and you, and just telling all Chicago fans, like, you can still want to be a fan of Justin Fields. I'll be a fan of him. My friend Britt Baker, who's a huge Steelers fan. You know, when we talk football, I'm always like, listen, I'm going to be rooting for him. I hope that he does really well. Not even in the selfish sense of like, we get a better pick, the better he performs.
Right.
But I want to see him succeed, because I still truly believe that if circumstances would have been different, that he could have been very successful in Chicago. But unfortunately, he joined at the wrong the worst possible time. Like, you showed up at the beach during, like, you're in LA right now and there was an earthquake. Like, you just showed up. Like, it just happens sometimes. Like, yeah, that's the luck of the draw. Like, oh, look at the team they built. I'm like, well, yeah, it's not like they're, you can't build the team in the past. Like, it's not, it wouldn't do any good. Although we do see some teams sometimes with the veterans that they sign, like, are you playing for 2020 or 2024? But at the same time, like, the past is the past. Like, that, okay, yeah, it sucks. Sorry, Justin. Like, I wish you could have been here later, but unfortunately, you were here now. The timing just wasn't correct, and it's okay to move on, and it's okay to look ahead. And the Bears did the right thing. And some of the problems that Justin had, I think that you could see, like, there was a hesitation to get rid of the ball. And I think that's something that DJ Moore even intimated about, like, throwing people open or whatever. I think a lot of that stuff comes from the situation. Like, that breeds bad. Like, do you think that, like, you know, if Justin was a rookie right now, like, some of the problems that were there in year three might not have been there if the situation had been better for him?
Well, I think the thing with Fields was he had that Ohio State, and that's one reason some people didn't like him. So I think that's something he still has and still need to work through a little bit. But I think he can improve. I mean, I'll be very interested. Like, if he doesn't play at all this year with Pittsburgh and he just has the year to work with receivers on the practice field and some of the guys that maybe aren't going to play as much for them this year, but maybe next year, he can build some of that confidence with some of those guys. And look, there's a reason the team traded for Keenan Allen. There's a reason they took Odunze. There's a reason that they're building, you know, this team. And so Fields had to deal with some of that too. And look, the Bears didn't do a lot. And the Bears offensive line was better this year. But this last year, but I think there still could be some improvement there. So like that's still going to have to be worked through, and next year that might be part of their draft equation as well, free agency. But there wasn't any choice. Like the one thing you can't do if you want to keep your job is not take Caleb Williams and see him star somewhere else, because eventually the ownership groups are like, look, you could have had this dude, and we love Justin too, but this isn't what we're doing. We shouldn't have done that. So, and the Carolina staff found that out this last year, right? They were all let go. They saw Bryce Young not do as well. CJ Stroud, right? If CJ Stroud's on that team and does well, Scott Fritter still has his job, you know? So we saw that, and that would have happened here if Williams would have become a superstar.
You know, I would even suggest that CJ Stroud might not have had the success had he been playing for Carolina, because I think that was a tough situation.
Exactly. You don't
for any quarterback. It's like a lot of that is circumstance. I'm not saying that Bryce Young would have been as good as CJ Stroud last year, right, but being in the right situation does help you out a lot. And we'll see it this year, because Jaden Daniels does at least have Terry McLaurin and some of the other guys, Johan Dotson and players like that. Yeah. So he's like, okay, he's got an opportunity. Drake May is not going to be good. Like, it's not going to work out. And his career could be over before it gets started.
Hopefully they'll play Brissett. Hopefully they'll play
They better
early in the year and let May kind of work his way in, especially if they're not any good, then at least you get them some time on the field and you can build them. They need more receivers. They need a lot more stuff on that team.
Yeah. And that's why you'll see somebody like JJ McCarthy. Well, I don't even, you know, be honest, I don't know if JJ McCarthy gets, I think Sam Darnold's going to be doing pretty well, but that's for a podcast for another day. I do want to talk about some of the other Bears draft picks. There weren't many of them. Of course, I'm talking about Kieran Omegaji. I got to figure out how to say that correctly. So,
Omega G.
Give me,
he's Omega G.
Omega G. He's Omega G. So, interesting player coming out of Yale. The first Ivy League player drafted in the first round since Marcellus Wiley back in the 1990s by the Buffalo Bills. So, that's good company. Or drafted this high, I should say. Obviously, he wasn't drafted in the first round, but this high. What do we know about him? Because I was reading Lance Zierlein's breakdown of him, and it seems pretty positive. I'm not going to pretend like I saw a bunch of his tape. How good is this guy, or how good could he be?
He could be good. He could be pretty good. He's a very he's got yardsticks for arms, or like plus 36, right? He's huge. He moves pretty well for his size. Moves pretty well for his size. Look, he played Ivy League competition, so you don't really know. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to do the postseason stuff. And I think that's the reason why he was still available where the Bears got him. And I had projected him to be drafted right in that area, so it was good value for where they got him. But he's got potential to be pretty good. He's a tackle only, so I think he could compete probably – it would be hard this year for him to compete for the starting job, coming off injury and that kind of stuff. But in year two, he's probably going to be competing for that job, and we'll see where it goes. But there's a lot of potential there in terms of size, athleticism, intelligence, obviously Yale. Am I going to say he's Gary Fensick? You know, no, not right now. But he's see what I did there for Bears fans.
I did. Yeah, we appreciate that.
And I think there's some potential there, and he was picked right about where I thought he'd go.
And so, and obviously Braxton Jones, I think it's still a good player, and I think he's got some potential. Were you shocked that the Bears didn't try to make an attempt to get a ready-made tackle to go? Or do you think that Braxton Jones is the guy there?
Well, I think he's got to be the guy, because they just didn't have.
Well, now he has to be. Yes.
Right. I mean, I don't think you can pass on Odunze. If Odunze had been, and J.C. Latham was there at 9, they could have taken him. And I could have seen that, because he could play left tackle in the NFL. So I could have seen that, and that would have made a lot of sense to me. But with Odunze on there, I don't think you pass him up.
Yeah, it makes too much sense to go with the wide receiver right there. And for a lot of the reasons that I've talked about, and I talked about on Monday with Rome Odunze, is like it's just refreshing, and a refreshing approach for the Chicago Bears. To realize, like, look, we got to make our quarterback. This quarterback situation has to work. This is the way to do it, and it's a pick for the future too. Like, we don't know how long Keenan Allen's going to be there, right, exactly. And at some point, you know, and They still have some young guys like Tyler Scott who can eventually come in. Before we get to my favorite pick, let's talk about Austin. Austin Booker, excuse me. Booker. That was an interesting one because I had heard, because I was listening, you know, to some of our draft coverage coming into that, and somebody had mentioned him before that day started as like an edge rusher to watch. How is he still available that late in the draft? Because he feels like a really good pick.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not quite sure. There was a few edge rushers that went later than possible, later than I thought. And I don't think they love the edge rusher class this year. I think they thought it was pretty below average. And when that happens, sometimes guys with potential don't get picked as early because teams are focused on corners. There was a run of corners in the fourth round. There's a run of the, you know, and then some of these guys kind of fall by the wayside. So getting Austin Booker, I thought was really smart, a very good pick for them. And I could have seen him going late third, early fourth. And he didn't work out as well as you'd hoped. And that's part of it. Like a guy like that, when he's at Kansas, kind of a one-year guy, sort of, if he puts the athleticism up, that really makes him stand out. He may have gone a little earlier, but it was pretty ordinary for a guy his size. And so that didn't really push him up boards as much as maybe you thought. But yeah, really solid pick in the fifth round for sure.
He reminds me, and now I can't even remember the guy's name. I had written it down earlier. But back in the 90s, Arizona State had a defensive end who came out of like Riverside. He played on the Pat Tillman, Jake Plummer teams, who played, he was like in the band at like RCC. And then he became like a one-year stud at Arizona State that 96 season, went to the Dolphins and did, I'm like, oh, like he kind of reminds me of that kind of vibe. Yeah. And I think that's, and listen, and playing opposite of Montez Sweat gives you an opportunity, a little leeway to go out there and not have to be the guy, not have to be the person who's counted upon, which is really huge. And you noticed, and you mentioned that too in your write-up, where you have, when you're looking at the Bears overall, you have to think about Ryan Bates, Montez Sweat, and Keenan Allen when you're factoring in the Bears overall haul, correct?
That's right. That's right. You have to factor in these trades. And, you know, I can't, and when a team gives a second or third round pick, okay, so the Commanders gave up Sweat for a second and Chase Young for a third. And the Bears re-signed Sweat, and the 49ers did not re-sign Chase Young. So to me, that's much better for the Bears than for the 49ers because you gave up that pick, but you didn't get, you know, you didn't get the longer-term experience with that player. And so I think getting that extension, second-round pick for Sweat with the extension made a lot of sense. So that was a really good move. And Antlin for that price, totally fine. Overall, you know, it's going to be a pretty good haul, even though some guys will be around longer than others.
Yep, and somebody that we hope is going to be around for a long time, Torrey Taylor, the pride of Iowa, the number one offensive weapon for Iowa last season. And I know Andrew Siciliano had tweeted it out. I was like, it's one of those things I was so angry that I didn't think of it first, where he's like, oh, the Bears got USC, Washington's, and Iowa's best weapons from last season. What do you make of Torrey Taylor going in the fourth round? Was it a little too rich for you?
A little too high for me. When he connects, very good. Obviously, he's done very well with Iowa. Look, you punt the ball 100 times and you're going to accumulate a lot of yards, right? I mean, like, he's insane. He's setting NCAA records because their offense was so terrible. But overall, he's a good punter. I mean, I think, and they needed that. Now, what I prefer, and this is kind of how it works sometimes. I didn't really like them taking him in the fourth round, but then they got Booker in the fifth round. So if those picks would have been switched, wouldn't have mattered as much. But here's the thing. Like, people always say, it doesn't matter what round they're picked. It just matters that the team gets the guy they like.
And that sounds like me.
I've found that when teams and consensus value match, the player has a better likelihood of being a special player in the NFL. It's a statistically significant difference. So it matters to some point, but sometimes it just works out where you get the guy, I get a guy later where you could have picked there and you could have picked. So it will. But the fact is that you don't know that when you're picking in the fourth round. You know, you could have picked several guys that were very good players right after that pick instead of getting Taylor, who you hope doesn't get on the field. I mean, that's going to be funny, right? Like Caleb Williams leads this great offense and Taylor's out there twice a game. And maybe it's really important when he's out there, right? I mean, maybe that's part of the deal, but it's just funny when you pick the guy you don't want to be out on the field at all in the fourth round. But look, he's a talented guy. He was the only punter that I thought would get picked. And he deserved to get picked. It's just a little bit earlier than I figured.
It's one of those things, too, and I said this on CHGO this week, is, you know, we just spent so many years trying to get Devin Hester into the Hall of Fame because you're talking about, like, yeah. Hey, special teams is important. You got to win all three phases of the game. And then there are some people, and actually it's not necessarily Bears people who say this. It's like Yurko and these guys on ESPN 100 who are like, it's a luxury pick for a team that, like, if the Chiefs had done, I think this is Yurko's point.
Yeah.
Like, if the Chiefs had done this, it would have been better. But at the same time, like, if the Bears feel pretty comfortable with what they got, and honestly, I thought Trenton Gill was not great. And I thought too, like, I guess Cairo Santo kind of overcame some of these points. Like, I would always wondered, you know, when the Bears were having trouble kicking the football, it's the punter who's the holder. It's like, is it ever the holder? Like, have you ever thought about that?
I think
having a great special teams room, and if you get Taylor out there twice a game and he's dropping Scottie Scheffler shots inside the five, I'm good with that. And I'm good with that and spending a fourth round pick on it.
Maybe it's just a matter of if you could have gotten a guy in after the draft that's going to do similar things. Like, that's always the issue with kickers and punters. What is the mental part of it is so strong. And I saw Taylor kicking live, and you know, he's got to speed up the delivery a little bit, and that may cause some issues and consistency. But if he works hard at it, gets it done, he'll be totally fine. And so there's just a risk involved. A lot of times, like, the difference between a first and a second round pick and a fourth and a fifth round pick is a level of risk and not necessarily talent. So are you going to get as much out of that? So, like, for example, Cade Stover is the pick after Torrey Taylor. Now, Cade Stover could end up being a pretty good NFL tight end. And they're okay at tight end, so, you know, and maybe the need isn't there. But, like, that's just the kind of the thing you have to go through in your mind. Like, okay, TJ Tampa, Jared Wiley, Jaden Hicks, the safety, goes to the Chiefs. There's a lot of really good players still there at that point in the draft. So is that pick at that time the best value? And I don't know that it is. But boy, you know, like you said, he was the only thing. And it's funny, like, some lower division, smaller school players look great because they're so much better than all the other players around them, even though there may not be pro caliber. And Taylor looked awesome because everybody on that offense was so bad. He just looked great being out there and actually, you know, pinning the other team. He did a great job at that. So it's going to be interesting to see how, if that translates to the NFL.
Yeah, it was a great system of him pinning the team deep, helping Cooper DeJean go out there and get a pick six or something like that. And I understand the value. Listen, you're going to go to the airport at some point, and you're going to have to decide whether that, you know, IPA at Long Beach Airport is going to be worth it at $16 or not. Yeah, you could have gone to the Ralph's and gotten it for $8, but you know what? It's double the price at the airport, and you're looking at it, and you're like, well, you know, if this is what I want, this is what I'm going to have to pay for it. And I think for the Bears, they kind of were in that situation. Had they been with multiple picks, that could have been fine. I think mostly when you look back at stuff like that, and I think it's easy to go through and you know, you do redrafts. I think that we've all done this at some point, redrafts where you're like, well, look at this. And they, you know, if you would have taken Darren Woodson 10th overall, like, okay, yeah, fine. Like that worked out.
Yeah, right.
I think it's more damning. Like if you're the Broncos and you took Jake Butt with the pick before George Kittle. Like, I think we get away. Like, people forget that we took Adam Shaheen in the second round because Jake Butt was right there. But I think that the Iowa player always ends up better. So there it is. I think we'll be okay.
That's why, like I said before, you got to do the grades right at the point, because nobody was saying George Kittle was going to be a superstar when they picked him. Nobody. And nobody. You know, you say he's a good player. But,
oh, wait, I liked him. I actually did. But I'm going to lean towards Iowa players, obviously.
Right. But I mean, look, overall, he was never mocked in a first round or second round, no. even, right? I mean, like, nobody said that. And so that's why you have to take that, you know, shot now. And that's why I say right now, Torrey Taylor may not be as good as Hicks and Stover and some of these other guys, because you have to put that on paper somewhere. And teams have to do yeah. that too, but it's very difficult for teams to, when they're going back to evaluate. You don't see that a whole lot where guys are fired because they said this guy was better than this guy, because everybody makes mistakes, right? But still, you have totally. To make a note of that at the time, so that when you're looking 2 years from now, it's not just hindsight.
You know, I remember they said the Adam Shaheen thing was so long ago. This is back when Daniel Jeremiah wasn't on the main telecast of the draft. Mike Mayock was still doing it. And so we did a show off of, Stage 2 at the old Culver facility at the NFL Network. And we were doing an online show. And it was Matt Money Smith. Lance was there. Bucky was there. And Daniel Jeremiah. And the Shaheen pick comes in. I'm like, this sounds stupid. And DJ's trying to sell, like, hey, like, and you know how it is. Like, you know, this guy, I'm like, this all sounds like garbage. I got, I don't want any, like, this just, it's just going to end up being a dumb pick. And then I think it's not on camera or anything like that, but I was like, why wouldn't you pick somebody like George Kittle, who went to Iowa? And they're like, Bucky's like, yeah, who is the last good Iowa tight end or something like that? Like Bucky will do, be so dismissive of me, but, in a good way though. Bucky's just,
that happens, you know, and that happens to everybody. And then we forget, like I had the same thing, when I was in Culver in 2012, the Commanders took RG3 and then they took Kirk Cousins in the fourth round. And we're sitting in the newsroom the next day, and everybody's talking about it, how dumb that was for them to take a second quarterback. And I just said, look, Kirk Cousins, we don't know about RG3. He's had injuries and all that stuff. If you got a second round grade on Kirk Cousins, we also didn't know who made the RG3 pick, and now we're pretty sure who made it. And it wasn't the Shanahans. Okay. So Cousins available there in the fourth. I say you take him. You need multiple quarterbacks, and you take him and you see what you get. But then we forget, you and I and everybody else tried to forget all the times we were wrong, right? Because as human beings, we've been indoctrinated that, like, that is part of the human makeup. If you thought about all the times that you didn't get food when you lived in a cave, you'd be so overwhelmed by anxiety that you wouldn't be able to go out and get right. So you have to look past those and think about the things that you got right. And that's how you keep your confidence, and that's how you keep doing this business. So again, that's why it's good to write this stuff down and kind of evaluate it when you evaluate it later.
I think from a Bears perspective, I think the last time I was so at, because I'm still not willing to concede that Justin Fields was the wrong pick. So I'll never, until we see him, if he has a career like Mitch Trubisky, then I will eventually come around and be like, okay, I won't, because I'll still contend that the Bears screwed him. I will say that the Bears screwed him up. That was a organizational fail.
Yeah.
But I do remember one player who I loved so much. It was Kylie Pitts. Was it Kylie? God, the guy who played at Redlands High School, went to UCLA. And
Fitz, I was the edge
rusher. Kylie Fitz, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was
UCLA, yep.
Yeah. I was so convinced. I'm like, this is going to end up being one of the better picks. Like, this is going to be one that we look back on and be like, how did he fall in the draft? Yeah. And even like, there were always some sort of, like, I felt like in camps and stuff, I'm like, oh, it's going to happen. It never did. Unfortunately, I think he's coaching locally. He's either coaching high school, or he might be a part of Deshaun Foster's group up there at UCLA now. But again, it's so easy to be wrong, and it's so easy to be convinced. And right now, as I sit here and listening to you tell that story about Kirk Cousins, like, yeah, sometimes taking a risk in the fourth round is not the worst idea. So I can hold my hat on that. And I still believe that Torrey Taylor is going to be a good pick. And so I'm looking forward to him never playing. But if he does, if he's kind of a cross between McAfee and Darren Bennett, like, you know, the Australian guy, but also a great personality, I'm good. I think that's a good
positional value is a little different between quarterback and punter, but, you know, whatever works. I hope the young man does well.
Even when they play against the Packers,
I'll say that.
Don't lie to me. Do we have some time to take? Do you have a couple of minutes to take some questions? I'm sure we have some out there. Sammy, if we have any questions, I know that I've been ignoring everybody. Brujas 7, do you see Booker used as strictly a third down berserker? I like his Terminator like relentlessness. Yeah, do you think when he starts off that he's just going to be a third down guy?
He's a DPR designated pass rusher to start. That's what he'll be to start. But he's got the strength and he's got the ability to play against the run. So in time, look, DeMarcus Walker is not going to be around forever. He's going to eventually turn into more, I think. So maybe year two, he starts getting some more reps. And look, injuries happen too. And I think he's got the potential to be more than just a DPR, you know, sooner than later.
Yeah, I hope to see it too. And again, like it's for a fifth round pick, yeah, it's not a bad spot to come in and be a situational pass rusher. It's something the Bears definitely need. How about another question there? If we have one, David Ree, would it have been better for Justin Fields if the Bears had held on to him until after the draft? This way he could be traded to a team where he could start. David, I'll take this first and then I'll defer to Chad. Yeah. But we talked about this a moment ago about, I think Caleb is going to be so overwhelmingly popular that it ends up like not being necessary for Justin to be around. And again, like, this isn't an unprecedented situation for a team to do that, because we saw it happen with Jimmy Garoppolo when the team took Trey Lance to the point of like Jimmy Garoppolo was on a separate field. And I think that Ryan Poles just wanted to do the right thing. And I think it ends up being the best thing for the Bears, even if it costs them what could have potentially been a second round pick instead of a could be fourth round pick.
Yeah. And the thing with Poles, and this was really impressive, and I don't think a lot of GMs would have said this publicly, or maybe said it publicly, but actually meant it. They wanted to do what was best for Justin Fields because they know that he was in a bad situation that he didn't have. But they also had to do what was good for the team. So that's what they thought they did. And I think what you don't want is you don't want two young quarterbacks on the same team at the same time that are really the starter. I don't know that would have been great for the team. I really don't. I understand the theory of what he was saying. I do. If Fields was like an average starter for a few years, then you keep him and then you see if you can get more. But the thing is, teams knew that they weren't going to, Fields was not sticking around no matter what he did in the preseason. So there was no leverage whatsoever. And teams were not going to offer up like a second round pick for Justin Fields, because a lot of teams, and look, Justin Fields looked better this year, but a lot of the teams still have the same thoughts about Justin Fields that they did at the time of the draft, and they didn't like him. So they're not going to turn around necessarily based on what they saw and offer a second round pick, even if their starter didn't, you know, got injured or whatever. So in theory, in a lot of cases, yes, I think that would have been a good move. In this particular case, I don't know that they would have saw a lot more value, and I don't think it would have added much to the team's cohesiveness over the next few months.
And, you know, you got to look, too, a lot of the potential teams that would be looking for a quarterback if it didn't work out of the draft. I think of the Raiders in this instance. Yeah. They still have Gardner Minshew. Like, if the Raiders didn't have Gardner Minshew, then perhaps – you could have waited to see what happened to the Raiders because they got into a position where like, we're not getting any quarterback and we're going to go with Brock Bowers, which, by the way, in my mock draft with a twist, I actually recommended the Raiders do this thing, even though they got Michael Mayer the season before. Teams run 12 personnel, and I think Brock Bowers is going to end up being like, I think that was a great – I love that pick.
I don't understand how teams let that dude fall to 13. I really don't. That was – the Raiders had to run that pick up if – people actually ran picks up anymore, which they don't, but you know, virtually run the pick to the podium. I think the dude's gonna be a stud, and teams are gonna kick themselves for not taking him when their offensive lineman that they took is a marginal starter.
Oh, so you're talking about the Jets. Okay. But I think the Jets are like, I don't know, they signed two 35-year-olds to go play tackle to protect their 40-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't know. They could have probably just blown the whole thing up. I know they want to make a go. I'm so refreshed that we're not in that spot anymore. Like the Bears are not in that spot to where they have failed with a couple of quarterbacks like Mitch Trubisky, which was awful. But that's right. That was the one thing too that I always loved when people are like, hey, you know what? Like Mitch Trubisky wasn't in a great situation because they had signed Mike Glennon, then drafted him. Justin Fields, yeah, not in a great situation because they had signed Andy Dalton and then drafted him and all this stuff. Ryan Pace was on both of that, was controlling both those teams. And now he's on the staff in Atlanta, and they do virtually the same thing.
Yeah.
With just more money with Kirk Cousins. And Kirk Cousins, like, compared to Andy Dalton and Mike Glennon, like, Kirk Cousins is like a superstar. Compared to those guys.
Those situations are not at all the same. Not at all the same. Because Glennon was obviously just a backup, even though they gave him, you know, $10 million. Andy Dalton was obviously just a mentor backup in that situation. And then people are likening this Penix Cousin thing to like the Jordan Love situation. They're not anything the same. They're not even close.
The same.
So like none of those situations are, you know, like what went on in Atlanta, which was really weird. So nothing
alike. No, not even close. Ryan Pace was so scarred by the Packers that he's like, we're going to do the Packer thing here. You're like, it doesn't make, like, why are you drafting a 24-year-old, however old he is? It's too old to be doing this. If you have a 21-year-old quarterback, oh, my God. God bless him, because, again, it was one of the reasons why the Bears were able to land Rome Odunze. So, happy.
That's right.
We were sitting there. We were doing the show live, obviously, and when they said, like, yeah, Michael Penix is the next pick, you're like, okay, like, it's Rome Odunze. Like, oh, my God, this is really going to happen. And so hopefully it does work out. I do want to ask you, Minnesota, I'm so torn on them. I know that I still believe that Sam Darnold can be a good quarterback for them. I think that given an opportunity, he could do this. Do you think that Sam Darnold starts for most of the season for there? And when would J.J. McCarthy be ready to take over for the Minnesota Vikings?
I think people are very much underestimating J.J. McCarthy right now. And I think
I'm one of them, for sure.
Yeah, I think he will be – he doesn't have to start right away. But if he shows enough in the preseason and him and Kevin O'Connell are on the same page, it wouldn't shock me at all if he's starting week one. Sam Darnold had a shot to be the guy.
Yeah.
It's the Jets. Wasn't great around him. I get all that. But I think we know what Sam Darnold is. And he could be just fine as a starter. But I think this is not going to be a year where the Vikings are going to compete for the NFC North. It just isn't.
Regardless, don't tell them that.
I'm just saying it's going to be the Lions and the Packers and the Bears and the Vikings. That's how it's going to go. So they're going to play McCarthy at some point. If he's ready, he will play, and it'll probably be early, because that dude is smart. He's got everything you have, and you need to see what he can do. And so I think he's going to be pretty good. And I think they're going to end up playing him, if not three quarters of the year, then probably half the year, if the Vikings are 2-6 or 2-5 or something like that. That's what I see.
What about their draft? I thought they did pretty well. And I think that some of the comments or some of the rumors that are coming out or some of the news, like, hey, they offered this for Drake May. You're like, dude, I would rather have, first of all, I'd rather just have JJ McCarthy anyways. But you also got, also replaced your pass rusher. I thought the Vikings, for them, like, they really tried to screw this up so bad, but yet ended up having an amazing draft because other teams weren't willing to trade with them.
They picked really good players. I liked the players that they picked.
Yeah.
Next year, they have no picks left. They have the 1 and 2 5s. You know, they gave a lot of their picks away for next year.
Yeah, they did do that.
So that's the issue that I have with that draft. And you got to love that they got Dallas Turner. I was floored that McCarthy wasn't picked earlier. So, but the guys that they got, I like the kicker, Richard from Alabama, like Walter Rouse from Oklahoma, and Dallas Turner is a good player. So, like, they got good players. They got good value. Next year is going to be kind of a bump in the road if they don't. And they might be able to move down in the first round, especially if they're not any good. They can move down and pick up some of those. You can pick up additional capital. So that'll be part of their plan, or they'll trade players, or they'll find ways to get those picks. But that's just the one kind of hesitancy I said about that. They gave up a lot of picks for next year for, you know, Turner and some other. And look, TJ Hockenson was a very good pickup for them too. So they have some things that they could build around that team. I'm just not sure it's going to happen this year with a very competitive division.
Yeah, they're in that weird spot too, where they could run the risk of drafting but you know, having Sam Darnold there helps them out so much. Yeah. But they're drafting a quarterback and they're trying to develop when their team's not quite ready. I think like the Bears and what Houston did last year as well is like, you know, now they have a team that's ready to compete. And I know that, you know, I've made this point before and everybody's like, well, everybody tries to build around a young quarterback, but I'm like, very few teams have actually gotten it correct where it just builds the timing like the Bears have. Can you think of any other time? Like, you think of the situation that Caleb Williams is in right now, where has there been a quarterback picked at the top of the draft who's had a better situation than Caleb Williams?
A better situation. I mean, in terms of the receiving core around him and some solid backs, no. I mean, not very many. Like you mentioned, Herbert. So there's been some, but not a lot. Not a lot. But, you know, the line, we'll see. We'll see if it's the best line that could be in front of him, you know. And if they, like I said, they were better. They were definitely better last year. So if they're cohesive, if they work together, if they stay healthy, you know, maybe that group would be the weak link in that offense. It would have him struggle, but look, he's got enough guys around him now. Komet, getting Gerald Everett was nice to have a number two guy. So like they have the weapons around him to help, and not a lot of quarterbacks have that. You're right. That does not happen very often. If the line's good, they could be pretty good on offense.
Yeah. I wonder too. And I don't want to get into a situation where we start, you know, running down Justin Fields because he's not here. But there were times where you're like, this dude is holding onto the football too much. Yeah. Like there were times I will love quarterbacks where you're like, oh my God, like get rid of the ball already. Do you think like there could be a situation where like Caleb is committed to getting rid of the football, and then you're like, oh wait, this offensive line is much better? Because when you look at them run blocking, they were a great run blocking team. And I'm like, are they just that inept at pass blocking that they couldn't get it done? But no, they had to go out there. But no, I think that if Caleb is more committed to throwing the football on time, that this offensive line can look so much better.
And if the receivers are able to gain separation or get Williams's trust that they're going to make the catch when contested, that's also going to help them out. And one thing he did at USC at time was not trust that was going to be the case, even though he had some decent receivers. So he's got to get over that and get over that hump. And once he does, it's going to be like Jaden Daniels wasn't that great until this year going into
Alabama. Oh, yeah, that's weird. He wasn't that great at ASU?
Yeah, and now he was like a third-round pick coming into the year. But halfway through the season, he became really decisive. He got rid of the ball. If he wasn't there, he ran. And if you get that decisiveness in Caleb Williams during his rookie year and he trusts all these guys around him, then everybody's going to look better.
Yeah. If you don't trust Keenan Allen right off the bat, I don't know. We might have bigger issues than anything like that. But it is funny, too, because I remember, you know, Dan Orlovsky on one of those shows. It might have been McAfee, where he's like, I don't remember Jaden Daniels having a Notre Dame game. And you're like, bro, did you not see him at ASU? Like this, and he's so old. Like he was throwing touchdown passes to Brandon Ayuk at I think Nick and Keel Harry was there too, right?
Right.
Like he's been around forever.
He has. And he's had some really good games, and then he had some games that weren't very good. So he was very inconsistent, and he was not a first round pick coming into this year. He's not. But that happens pretty much every year where one guy or two guys become that first round pick because they show that they've matured and all that stuff. That's going to happen next year, by the way. All these people are saying, oh, their quarterbacks are going to be low again. And then we're going to see Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck from Georgia, Jackson Dart from Ole Miss could have a huge year this year. So he's going to be in that conversation. Noah Fifita from Arizona, a lot of people don't know. He might be 5'10 and change, but he's pretty talented. So you're going to have some names pop up here during the course of the year. And then, you know, we'll be talking a lot about quarterbacks again.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure of it. And it's one of those things that happens each and every year. It's somebody will reach for a quarterback too. They'll be the toolsy white guy too. They'll be, you know, like Drake, there's a Drake May every year, like yeah. Blake Bortles, yeah. like all the, like every year, like, I don't know. And I don't want to speculate on, but I just want to be happy about Caleb Williams. Now, I know you're backstage when the show opens. So my final question to you is, I've already said that there should be an expectation that this team is in the mix, like is going to win double digits. Are Bears fans just setting themselves up once again for failure? Because I don't care. I'm doing it, but I just want to know your opinion.
Oh, I think you should be 100% optimistic until there's reason not to be. That's the whole reason the draft is so great, is because it gives us hope for our teams. I've been saying this for 25 years. I've been covering this 25 years. That's why it's great, because you get a chance to be really optimistic about your team until something happens and then it doesn't turn out. But that's fine, because that's the way life is. So yes, be optimistic. It's going to be a very competitive division. The winner of the division may have 12 wins and the last place team may have 7. And the Packers and the Lions and the Bears may all be in that 11, 10, 12 area, depending on how everything shakes off and the non-division games and all that. But yeah, I say be optimistic. I say, and the nice thing is that even if they win 8 or 9 games, if Caleb Williams shows he's the guy, you got optimistic going forward, and you could continue to build with him and Odunze and some of these other guys and just build a little bit more around him. So I say be optimistic for the next 3-4 years. You're going to see something really good and that you really haven't seen in Chicago since, you know, Sid Luckman. I don't know.
You know, you don't have to be that mean. I've pointed it out. Like McMahon wasn't a bad pick. Even Jim Harbaugh wasn't a bad pick. Cade McNown was lousy. Rex Grossman, not great. Mitch Bob was an Avellini. Obvious miss.
Bob Avellini was awesome. Brian Bashnagel was a great receiver. You know, look, the names are just – no, you know what? Look, the Bears got something and should be happy about it.
I think so. And it's great for the NFL when the Bears are good. And I don't think I can't even remember a time. I don't even know if there was – I mean, I guess you could go back to Halas Lombardi. But, like, the Bears and Packers have never really intersected much as far as, like, being really good teams. Obviously, the 2009 NFC Championship game.
The NFC Championship game, but it doesn't happen much. Yeah.
There was one blip, and it was
– Yeah, it doesn't matter if the teams are any good or not when they play. So that's the great thing.
Right, that part of it, yeah.
You know, my first memory of football is watching Chester Merkel run a ball in for a touchdown, you know, against the Bears. Like, I'm 8 years old. That's one of the first things I remember. So, like, it's been great, and hopefully the Bears and Packers will have some good games, and they'll both be in the playoff hunt this year.
Yeah, it's funny, because I remember talking to Nick Vial one time, and he was like, my first memory was the Mike Tomczak or the Mikowski game. Tomczak was our quarterback. Wait, was he?
Yeah.
That was it. You know, but like, you know, as great as the Bears were in the 80s, the Packers were garbage. And then the Packers became good in the 90s and the Bears regressed. And so it'll be fun.
It'll be fun if both teams are good.
Yeah. And I think there's a great opportunity for that. But listen, speaking of opportunities, I'm sorry that we didn't get a chance to play golf this time around, schedules being what they are. But hopefully, I'll come out your way and play one of these days.
Absolutely.
I can fly.
Anytime, man.
I can fly with some clubs.
I got you free passes to the club I belong to. We'll get out there and do the thing.
That's all I need to know. I will. I'll make a detour on my trip because I'll be going back east a couple of times this year. But in any event, I want to thank you once again for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have you. California is always better when you are here in the state. So we will miss you when you're gone. Thank you so much for being here. And let's talk again soon, please.
Sounds great, man. I appreciate you having me on and for the kind words.
Thanks, Chad. And so we don't have our outro in this case. So I'm just going to end it right now by saying bear down, be optimistic, and we'll see you soon. Sammy, just end the show.